This is part B of, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now let's continue on and see how we need to trust in God. Let's come to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Speaking of the one to trust in God, this is page 757, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. You won't have to worry. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. See, that's why you have to have a relationship with God. Satan's going to be there to try and get you knocked off base every time he can. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Now, let's come to the middle verse of the whole Bible, Psalm 118 and verse 8. Middle verse of the whole Bible, Psalm 118 and verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord, verse 9, than to trust in princes. And who are the princes? All the elected officials, right? Once in a while you may get one that has some backbone, like the one who reminds me of Esther. And there are people going to vote for her because of what she says and how she says it. But it shows you how corrupt and wretched that they are back there in what is called the Beltway. They're so in love with themselves and their own highly sophisticated thoughts and their own friends and their own ilk that they can't stand anyone who comes flying in from the north and doesn't speak their double-speak political gobbledygook. Well, we'll see what happens. Regardless, you trust in the Lord. That's where it needs to be. Now let's continue on and come back here to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. That's why we need the Word of God to strengthen us. Let the Word of God be our shield. Let God intervene and help us. Place His angels about us. And don't worry about the consequences that are happening all around you. God will provide a way. Now, it may not necessarily be easy, but at least it will be a way. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's what you need to do. Now, if you need something in a hurry, God will intervene in a hurry. But overall, wait patiently on the Lord. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, notice the circumstances that he was in. Now, I don't know whether he was in a deep pit of miry clay, but at least all the circumstances and everybody against him as David was in, and this reminds me of what Jeremiah must have been in that sewer. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Now, remember what Jesus said about the rock. Let's come back here to Matthew 7. Hold your place here in Psalm 40 because we'll come back. Let's come back here to Matthew 7. Yeah, miry clay is a predicament. Sticky predicament. Slippery. Clay is slippery. Clay is sticky, etc. All right. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and practices them. See, that's why it has to be a way of life. I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Now, in this case, it's not miry clay, but notice. And the rain came down, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, but it didn't fall, for it was founded upon the rock. So that shows you why the words of God give you strength. Like being anchored on a rock. That's why in New York City, they have all these skyscrapers there, because the granite rock comes up really close to the surface and goes very, very deep. So they can take these steel beams and put them deep into the granite rock, and they aren't going to move. Now, as they look at the underlying topography underneath the top of the soil, it's like there's a mountain of gravel here and then a valley, a mountain of granite here and then a valley, and then it comes up to another mountain of granite and then another valley. So where Central Park is, that's where one of those valleys is because there's no granite right up close to it. And it goes down hundreds of feet with just silt and everything like that. So that's why they have the skyscrapers right there. Now, in San Francisco, you can't build it that way because they don't have the granite rock. And a lot of those buildings that are built out close to the shore, they're all on fill. And so when an earthquake comes, whoop, buildings go under. See? Likewise, spiritually. Now, compare that spiritually. If you are built upon a rock, who's Christ? And it is the result of your character with him by practicing the words that he brings, teaches, that's found in the Bible. He's virtually saying here that you will come through every single trial according to God's way, not according to your own thoughts. So always keep that in mind. So you're going to have all those trials. Now, verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not practice them shall be compared to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain came, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it can happen in seconds. I was watching a special the other day about these houses up on the side of the hills in Japan. And they had rain, and everything got saturated. And they had a big landslide. The houses came down. The trees came down. Everything just came down. And they were surprised that it went as fast as it went. And the speed of everything coming crashing down, trees didn't buckle over. They just came down still standing. 22 miles an hour was the speed of it. So there are some lessons for us. And I think of that every time I look at some of these subdivisions down in the valleys where you know it's a dry stream. And there is a 100-year flood plan. And Jonathan, who does architectural work, knows, like he was telling a client the other day, you got to do this and you got to do that and you have to do the other thing because this house is in a floodplain and you have to make sure that it's higher than the 100-year floodplain. They don't have a 500-year floodplain. Haven't been in the land long enough for a 500-year floodplain. Well, there's the floodplain of Noah. Which is 15 cubits above the top of the mountains. And here in California, what, 2 years ago, 3 years, 4 years ago now, they had the same thing. In Santa Clarita, they had all these houses built up alongside the hill, and it rained and rained and rained and rained and rained, and in minutes, that whole hillside came down and destroyed, I don't know how many houses destroyed, but it must have been dozens of houses and killed a lot of people. Because you don't think that it's going to come down, and all of a sudden your house creaks a little bit, and you say, what is that? Whoop! And you're going down the hill. Now, spiritually, that is true. Economically, that is true. It's going to come upon people suddenly, even though they've had many warnings. See? Set me upon a rock. Now, let's come back to Psalm 40. So make sure you're anchored on the rock spiritually. And if you're living in a house that's a dry creek bed, you might think about some other location. Best way to find out is, can you get flood insurance or not? Now continuing, verse 2, Psalm 40, and established my steps. God will do that. Now notice, and it will give you a good attitude. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor those who turn aside to lies. So, word to the wise in this world and in the church. Verse 37. No, Psalm 37. Let's come over there. Beg your pardon. Psalm 37. Page back. This way, if you're strong in the Lord, your mind is set, you're looking to God, you maintain that relationship with God, you're built upon the rock, then you're going to be strong and nothing is going to take you down. That doesn't mean you aren't going to have some kind of anxiety. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have some things that you're going to worry about, but you're not going to be consumed with it and overwhelmed with it because you know God is going to take care of it. All right, Psalm 37. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Don't get frustrated. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. You know, just ask the question. Did it do one bit of good? I don't know if you saw it. O'Reilly taking on Barney Frank. Shouting at each other. Did it do one bit of good? No. Didn't change a thing. And I imagine there were a lot of people out there saying, yeah, give it to him, O'Reilly. There are a lot of people out there shouting every time they see Barney Frank on television. Well, did it do you any good? Did it remove Barney Frank? Did he change and repent on the spot? Did he throw up sackcloth and ashes when he heard O'Reilly call him an unmitigated liar? No. So don't fret about the evildoers. Ask God to intervene and take care of them. Sometimes it'll take quite a while to get to them. Verse 2, you will always see this happen. It will sometimes take time, other times it'll happen right away. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. Regardless of what everybody else is doing around you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. In time. If you love Him and practice His way. And the greatest desire is to be what? In the kingdom of God. Verse 5. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Promises. Now, in order to be strengthened in mind, you take these scriptures that we're going over here and you use them in your personal prayer. Read them, go over them, think about them, look at your own circumstances, ask God to help you, ask God to open up your mind, ask God to protect you, and He will. Verse 6. And He shall bring forth your righteousness like the light, and your judgment like the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of him who carries out wicked schemes. Well, I can't believe how all of these apply to the Congress of the United States and those sleazy ones that run it. Cease from anger. Well, that's hard to do sometimes. But anyway, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret yourself. It only leads to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Promises. God will take care of it. We're going to run the world. These are good examples of what not to do and how not to do it. All right, let's continue on. We need to have our strength in God. Okay. Psalm 52. So we trust in God, we have strength in God, and we're going to finish up with faith in God. Okay. Psalm 52 and verse 6. And the righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, that is the evil one, saying, behold the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. He strengthened himself in his wickedness. Now that is a perfect description of all of these exotic financial instruments that they leveraged and leveraged and leveraged and leveraged. Okay? It came upon them suddenly. Be laughing at him, saying, behold the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. He strengthened himself in his wickedness, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. So our strength needs to be in him. Psalm 144. Boy, isn't it amazing how many of these things are in the Psalms? And the reason that they are is because here in the Psalms we have written and recorded for us every situation, every frustration, every problem that we will experience, every joy and everything that God will give to us. And that's why they are so great. And that's why when there's trouble, study the Psalms. Pray over them. Make them part of your own words. If you come to a point you say, oh God, what am I going to pray about? Take the Bible and open it up to the Psalms and start reading them and make those your words, and then your prayers will start coming based upon that. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed is the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Now ours is spiritual war and spiritual battle. He is my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge. He subdues my people under me. David forgot that when he had his affair with Bathsheba. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like vanity, his days are like a shadow that passes away. And so it's all going to come crashing down upon them. Now let's see how we are to be strong in God. Let's come back here to 1 Peter the 5th chapter. New Testament, 1 Peter the 5th chapter. And here's one always to remember. I know I've gone here many, many times when we've gone through some trials and difficulties. Remember, the general epistles are right after Acts. 1 Peter 5, page 1133. Well, let's pick it up here in verse 5 because it flows right in. In the same manner, you younger men, be subject to the older men, and all of you be subject one to another, being clothed with humility, because God sets himself against the proud. And remember, the proud are going to fall, and they don't know when they're going to fall. But he gives grace to the humble. And stop and think about it, as I've mentioned many, many times. Man is like a shadow. Man's days, as David said, are like a hand's breadth. And isn't it amazing? One breath away from dying, and yet we think we're all so strong and tough and, you know. But it really isn't so. So be humble before God. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And what is the greatest exaltation? The resurrection. Not here. Casting your cares upon him. So whatever your cares are, cast them upon him. Because he cares for you. He loves you. He has called you. He has given you his spirit. So he cares for you. Then here is a part of be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. be sober, be vigilant. And no, there is a Satan the devil out there who is causing a lot of trouble and difficulty for a lot of people. For your adversary, the devil, is prowling about like as a roaring lion, seeking anyone he may devour. It'll come along with a ding, a little thought in the head first. That's why we have to learn to cast down all the thoughts that are contrary to God. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. You have to have faith in God and faith in what you are doing. We'll talk about that a little bit more here. The faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren who are in the world. Now here is a promise. And it will happen. I've experienced this many times. You probably have too. Let's read it. Verse 10. Now may the God of all grace, who has called you unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, himself, that is God himself, perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's a promise. And many a time in the trials I've gone through, and we as a family have gone through, and we've had many of those, you can be sure of that. I've used this as my prayer and claimed the promise that God would do it. And yes, he did do it. So let's read that again. After you have suffered a little while, himself perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Why? Because you're trusting in the Lord, and he is your strength. All right, let's come to Ephesians now, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And it also talks about Satan, because you see, sometimes when we look at some of these political things, we forget that Satan is the god of this world, and he is ruling in the kingdoms of men. And God rules in the kingdoms of men through him, and gives the kingdoms to whomsoever he wills. Ephesians 6. So here's what we need to do. Instead of getting angry and frustrated, wondering why this is being done, and thinking that we can go out and change the world, Christ can change the world. We can't change it without him. Christ can change our lives so we can qualify for the resurrection and help him change the world. So that's what we need to keep in mind. But we do have to keep fighting against Satan the devil and realize that these governments are of Satan the devil. Now, Ephesians 6, page 1193. Let's pick it up here, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's where our strength has to come from. And all of us know we're weak. And in the might of his strength. Now, we have something to do. Because the strength of the Lord is not just kind of like an inoculation and you go get a shot. Then all of a sudden, whoop, I'm strong in the Lord. No, put on the whole armor of God. We have to work. These are parts of our works. So that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And as I started out, the devil is in the details. Now here's the reason in the world. Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. I suggest you read the latest bill that was passed and make a judgment on it yourself. So remember that. Against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. So is it going to do any good? to vote them out of office? Well, it may have a little less evil, but that's about the best you can do, because this is not God's world yet. It is Satan's world, and he is the god of this world. So because of that, verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And that is day by day also, as evil things come. And having worked out all things to stand. You see, we are to stand for God, stand for the truth, stand for faith, stand for everything concerning God. We're not to be like a piece of cloth flying in the wind. We're to stand. Stand therefore. Now notice, he says it again. Having your loins girded about with truth. In other words, the word of God is such a part of you, it's just like a coat, and it girds you right about. And wearing the breastplate of righteousness, so that Satan cannot get to your heart, because we make a lot of judgments with our hearts based on emotion, correct? Yes. And what is the thing that drove this bill going through Congress? Emotion and fear. Not doing what is right. Did anyone really open the Bible and say, oh God, lead us in this debate. Give us the understanding what we need to do for this nation and your people? No, they may have had some perfunctory hireling come up there and say, oh God, bless these proceedings that are taking place in Congress. And that was not a prayer to God. Okay? You have to have it. It's part of your being, you see. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Walking in the way of God, walking in the truth of God, practicing the things of God. Besides all these things, verse 16, take up the shield of faith, with which you will have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Those things that come upon you as a trial. And put on the helmet of salvation, because you got to protect your brain. You got to protect your mind. And that's the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you have the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and all of these things are the defenses. Now again, we call your attention to the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. Now notice what does it. Verse 18. This is what makes everything work. We have the Word of God, verse 17, then verse 18. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And in this very thing, being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're in this all together. That's why I think it's a wonderful thing every time we have opening and closing prayer. They pray for all the brethren wherever they are in the world. God hears that. That's not an empty prayer. And aren't you glad there are other people praying for you too? Yes, indeed. All right. Now, let's come over here to James, the first chapter. Okay? James, the first chapter. Back a few pages. Remember, the general epistles are before the epistles of Paul. So let's come here to James, the first chapter, and this tells us the kind of faith that we need, because we need the faith that is true, that is solid, the way we're built on the rock. Now, another thing we can do is this, because I don't have time to read all the scriptures concerning it, but you go back and you read the commission given to Jeremiah, and God said, I am going to make you strong. I'm going to make you like iron pillars and brazen fence against all the people of the land. Now, you think about what Jeremiah had to do. He started out when he was about 16, and he was the priest, and he had to deliver and pronounce all the words that are written in the book of Jeremiah against everyone. and even the priest from his own hometown wanted to kill him. See, likewise with Ezekiel. So we need to have the strength of mind. And here is, James tells us how we can get this strength of mind. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are in the dispersion, greetings. So they knew where they were. They weren't lost, right? Would you write a letter to someone who you didn't know you was writing to? Hey, dear so-and-so, I don't know where you are, and I don't know how this letter is going to get to you, but I'm writing it anyway. Verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you are beset with various trials. Now, you'll get frustrated in them. But after you've been delivered, it brings joy, and it adds faith, and it adds strength, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And I could give another sermon on endurance, because we need endurance in these days too. But let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking in anything. So you see, the whole goal of God is so that you are going to be perfected spiritually. And being perfected spiritually is going to come because of the circumstances that we are going through. That's why we have the trials. That's why we have the difficulties. Are we going to trust God or not? Verse 5. However, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to everyone freely and does not reproach the one who asks, and it shall be given to him. And we need that. And I can just tell you this, one of my prayers consistently is, as we have seen in the Bible and as we have seen even within the churches of God, there's something that happens to old men, which is, they make dumb decisions. And I pray all the time, God, don't let me make a dumb decision. Don't let me get carried away with selfishness like Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah? After God healed him of his affliction, added 15 years to him, then the Babylonian ambassadors came over and he said, oh, I'm glad you're coming to see me. So he took them around. He got carried away with his vanity and showed them all that was there, all the wealth, everything that had to do with all the blessings that God had given Hezekiah. And then Isaiah had to go back and say, what did you do? I showed him everything. It's all going to Babylon. But not in your lifetime. Oh, well, that's good. I have nothing to worry about. So what was the punishment for the kingdom of Judah? 55 years of Manasseh. What was the punishment for the church of God because an old arrogant man got carried away with his authority and who he was? We're all scattered. So that's part of my prayer. All of us need wisdom, because when you get down to it, we are really dumb. The only wisdom we have is from God. So that's why never get carried away with our own plans and our own schemes, because it's all going to come crashing down. So God gives wisdom. But let him ask in faith, not doubting at all, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven by the wind and tossed to and fro. Isn't it amazing about water when everything's nice and smooth? It's just like glass. You look out, see your reflection in it, but you get 150-mile-an-hour wind, and it is absolutely destructive and tears everything up. And we've had enough hurricanes hit America recently. You know what that looks like afterwards. Do not let that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So all these trials and difficulties that are coming are to help strengthen us in God. Now let's finish by going to 1 Peter, the first chapter, just a couple of pages over. 1 Peter, the first chapter. And this chapter summarizes, I think, everything we have talked about today. Now, there are many other scriptures we can add to that, what we've covered today, but I'll let you do that. Let's pick it up here, 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the goal. That's where we are headed. Always keep that in mind. Everything else is secondary, tertiary, or less. Unto an inheritance incorruptible, the true riches of God, undefiled and unfading, reserved in heaven for us. Christ is going to give it to us, who are being safeguarded by the power of God through faith, for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And Peter didn't know how long that would be. But here we are reading it, and this strengthens us. In this you yourselves greatly rejoice, though for the present, if necessary, you are in distress for a little while by various trials, in order that the proving of your faith, so when you ask God for more faith, don't be surprised if you get a few more trials, because it's going to prove your faith. Remember this, which is more precious than gold that perishes, and we already read that in Psalm 119, right?
Yes.
Now continuing on here, though it is being tested by fire, and sometimes some of the trials you're going through feel like they are a fiery trial, right? May be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom not having seen you love. Now that's really something, isn't it? Peter saw him, Peter loved him, the apostles saw him, many of those who were first baptized saw him and knew him, but we have never seen him. In whom, though at the present time you do not see, you believe and rejoice with unspeakable joy and filled with glory. Because we know what the end is. Now notice what I said, always keeping your mind on the goal and the end. And are receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, how great is this salvation? Well, he goes on to write here that even the prophets wanted to know what it was, but God didn't let them know. Well, even the angels too. Come over here to verse 13. For this reason, be prepared in your minds. Now, the King James says, gird up the loins of your mind, and that's an old phrase for, you know, strengthen your mind, and to gird up, it's just like a saddle you put on a horse. Have you ever put a saddle on a horse? You have to gird it up. Well, prepare your minds in the same way. Be self-controlled and fully hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform yourselves to the former lusts as you did in your ignorance, but according as he who has called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct. Now, how can you be holy in your conduct? By keeping the commandments of God and walking in the truth and the faith of God, right? Yes. And if you call upon the Father who judges according to every man's work without respect of persons, pass the time of your life's journey in the fear of God. So we need to really keep our minds focused on that. Now, this is how then we are going to strengthen ourselves mentally, spiritually, physically, and be able to go through the difficult times that are ahead. And best thing to do is be prepared ahead of time. Best thing to do is be strengthened in mind and in spirit and in heart so that you have the faith and trust in God that when these difficult times come, you will know that God is with you and for you and will see you through it. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.